This is a production of Cornell University.
Hello and welcome to the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information. My name's Frank Rossi. I'm the Turfgrass Extension Specialist here at Cornell University, and the Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast is brought to you in partnership with our friends at the New York State Turfgrass Association. This is the podcast for May 4th, 2015, Volume 16, Issue 5. As expected over the last few weeks of cool and mostly dry conditions, it will be a compressed spring season. Temperatures are expected to be well above normal for the next 8 to 14 days and should allow for significant increases in turfgrass vigor. The limiting factor during this period might just be moisture, as we are experiencing some unusually dry conditions this spring in the Northeast. Dry conditions in the spring provide many opportunities for good root growth as soils are still cool, air temperatures typically not high, and the availability of deeper soil moisture. The result of dry spring conditions are often more substantial root growth, as attested already by many golf and sports turf managers responsible for sand-based systems. Plugs inserted into damaged greens or sod installed in the last few weeks have already developed substantial rooting, most likely the result of cool temps that have heretofore limited top growth. Remember, cool season plants will produce top growth at the expense of root growth, especially in spring. The downsides of any dry conditions in the spring are poor germination of new seedings, wet soils prone to compaction now becoming hard and limiting turf vigor, and effectiveness in pre- and post-emergent herbicides. Specifically regarding seeding new areas or recovery from damage may benefit from the new trend in coated seed products that have been shown to enhance seed germination under less than ideal irrigation programs. Keep in mind that while coated seed will help with germination, overall establishment requires attention to irrigation after emergence and through a few weeks of the seedling stage. Now to the weather from our forecast website and our ace weather forecaster, Professor Art DiGaetano of the Northeast Climate Center. As successfully predicted by our expert forecaster, a much below normal week with temps of 6 to 12 degrees below normal. We remain 14 days behind last year's to the north and a few days ahead of last year to the south, as well as a full 2 to 3 weeks behind the 15-year average, which we call normal. This kept base 50 growing degree days at bay. However, base 32 growing degree day program did progress to the point where ideal timing for embark is available to all but the highest elevations. Soils are in the low to upper 50s in the north and low 60s in the south. Very dry conditions continue to prevail over the last few weeks, as most received less than a half an inch for the week. ET measured quarter to a half inch region wide, and while there was not a huge deficit this week, many sandy areas and poor soil starting to dry out and could limit turfgrass vigor. Another nice stretch of weather is expected for the coming week of above normal temps with clear skies. Temps expected to be 70 to 80 degrees for highs and 50 to 60 degrees for lows. Except for a front early in the week, expect continued dry conditions through the week and expect 8 to 14 days of this kind of weather. And of course, you can check out all our weather and pest prediction information at the forecast website. Regional clips start out with a note from Rich Buckley at the Diagnostic Center at Rutgers. Widespread use of micro-plugging underway in heavily damaged annual bluegrass greens. From the east end of Long Island, windy and warm conditions starting to influence turfgrass growth and visual appearance on east end of Long Island. Jerry Giordano in Westchester. In fact, the need for irrigation on golf courses is being likened to July conditions in some quarters. And finally, a regional clip from Randy Prostack. Dry conditions will continue to influence the timing of pre-emergent herbicide activity on crabgrasses. A new resource spotlight. Perfect timing for spring weed management programs. This exciting new weed identification and control website, developed under the leadership of horticulture professor Jenny Gowniffen, offers an easy-to-use identification tool for grass and broadleaf weeds in turf and landscape settings. It has an adaptive design, so it will work on all your mobile devices as well as your desktop. Recommendations for control include products available for use under the Child Safe Playing Field Act, and you can access this great resource at turfweeds.cals.cornell.edu. And our questions for this week begin with, how do dry conditions influence herbicide activity? Dry conditions have several effects on herbicide activity. The most important and often overlooked is the role of moisture in activating the pre-emergence barrier in the turf grass root zone. Pre-emergence herbicides will require moisture to migrate into the turf root zone and become available for absorption by newly germinating weed seedlings. Remember, pre-emergent herbicides require weed seedlings to germinate for them to be controlled. So be sure to follow label directions if using pre-emergent herbicides and irrigate if called for. Additionally, many pre-emergent herbicides, such as dinitroanilins, prodiamine, barricade, or pendimethalin, pre-em, can influence turf grass root growth. Under very dry conditions, the effect on rooting might be pronounced. Finally, dry conditions will reduce desirable turf vigor, possibly creating voids that can be filled by invading weeds. Monitor turf density and consider using nitrogen fertilizer to increase density. As studies have found, fertilizing a thin lawn alone will reduce crabgrass invasion by 70%. Dry conditions also influence performance of post-emergent herbicides that might be used at this time for broadleaf weed control. In general, moisture stress conditions that limit plant growth also reduce the effectiveness of foliar-applied herbicides such as 2,4-D. Simple solutions for maintaining effectiveness are to irrigate within 24 to 48 hours of application, either pre- or post-application. If irrigating after application, be sure product dries on leaf surface before applying water. And finally, should I apply nitrogen fertilizer at this time? If you have an irrigated turf area that receives regular traffic at this time, then a fertilizer application could be warranted to encourage active top growth for recovery from wear. However, if you have a standard turf, including sand-based systems, established for more than 10 years, then you are less likely to need applications of nitrogen at this time. Furthermore, when considering the use of the growth potential model discussed in Shortcut Volume 16, Issue 4, if turf is at 30 to 40% of optimal growth, then small applications of soluble N, about a tenth of a pound per thousand, might be useful. Keep in mind, warming temps alone will allow for mineralizable N in your organic matter to become available to your turf, especially if moisture is available. In fact, there is some suggestion that simply keeping a turf adequately watered at this time will serve as a small fertilizer application by encouraging microbial release of nitrogen. Thank you for joining me for this weekly edition of the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, brought to you in partnership between Cornell University Turfgrass Science Program and the New York State Turfgrass Association. My name is Frank Rossi. I'm a professor in the section of horticulture in the School of Integrative Plant Sciences at Cornell University, and I hope you have a great week.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.